Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to serve your church, Lord, your collection of believers, Father. I thank you. And as we move into the message, I pray, Lord, that you will make it plain, Lord. Use me to make it plain, Lord, for these, your people, Father. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Today we're coming from Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. Now, most of us know the story of Jonah. He was the prophet in Israel who was called upon by God to go preach repentance to their mortal enemies, the Assyrians. He was called to go to Nineveh and go just share that God was not pleased with what they were doing and they had a chance to repent. Jonah did not like that. Jonah went the opposite direction because, of course, he did not want to see their enemy saved. So he went in the opposite direction. But you know what? Sometimes when we go in the opposite direction, we find ourselves coming around to what God wanted us to do in the first place. We know the earlier part of what goes on. As Jonah is on the boat, a storm comes up and they question who has caused the storm. And Jonah says, I have, and he is thrown overboard. He asked to be thrown overboard so that the storm will stop. But God had a safety net for Jonah in the form of a fish swallowed him. And he stayed in the belly of that fish for 3 days before Jonah repented of his disobedience to the Lord. And once he repented, he was spat out, as it says in the second chapter, on dry ground. But God was not finished with Jonah yet, because God was going to give Jonah a second chance. Do you believe in second chances? I believe in second chances. I know God does, because we see several illustrations throughout the Word where He gave individuals second chances. And this is what this message is all about, the God of second chances. As we look at the first verse of chapter 3, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. Think about it. He had already spoken to Jonah earlier and given him direction of what to do, but Jonah had been disobedient. So he gave him a second chance. Brothers and sisters, have you ever felt that God is calling you to do something and you ignore it because it's not convenient to you, or you're not comfortable doing it? You know, maybe that's what God wants you to do. Maybe that's what you need to do. But don't you find that you come around to doing it much later when you could have been doing it earlier? You had your second chance, and we have our second chances. So in Jonah 3:1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. It came to him a second time. Yes, God was disappointed with Jonah, but he never deserted Jonah the second time. Earlier, God spoke to him to go to Nineveh and he disobeyed. But now Jonah has repented of his sins in the midst of the belly of the fish. And now he is ready to do what God wants him to do. So Jonah, verse 2, tells him, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Go to Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. Now we have to understand again that Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And Assyria, they were the mortal enemies of the Israelites. The Assyrians were the nasty enemy. The Assyrians were the enemies you see on movies that when they lay siege to your city, they don't take you peacefully, but they will kill the leaders. The Assyrians were the ones who would line the streets with stakes in the ground, so put the heads of the leaders on top of the stakes as a warning to anybody else that you don't mess with us. You mess with us and this is what's going to happen. That was Nineveh. That was Assyria at that time. And Nineveh was a city, a great city in Assyria. But he says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. And this is the third time in this book that God has called Nineveh a great city. I understand it was so great that the walls were 50 feet thick and 100 feet high that surrounded the cities. 8 miles it went around the city. I understand that this city was so great that not only did they have this great wall around Center City, but they had another wall around all the suburbs. So if you wanted to mess with Nineveh, you had to go through something. Nineveh was a great city. It was an organized city. It was a city that feasted off the spoils of others that they conquered. So again, the message from God, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. You know, God works with us in mysterious ways. God can forgive and he can restore. George Morrison once wrote that the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. And if you think about that, our life is a series of new beginnings. But all we have to do is look at the Bible and we can see others that have had new beginnings. We can see others who have had second chances. We can look at the word and we can see that Abraham, who fled Egypt, you know, Abraham fled Egypt when he lied about his wife, you know, being his sister, but God gave him another chance. We can see that Jacob lied to his father, Isaac, but God restored him and used him to build the nation of Israel. We can see that Moses had to leave Egypt when he killed a man, but God called him later to be leader to his people. And even in the New Testament, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but God forgave him and said, follow me in John 21. We serve a God of second chances. And in verse 3, now listen, the first time this happened in chapter 1, Jonah went the opposite direction. He was called to go to the east of Nineveh, but instead he went to the coast and got on the boat to go the opposite direction. But let's look at what happens in verse 3 of Jonah 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So he arose. What happens when we get a second chance? Do we make the same mistake again? Are we obedient and follow where God is leading us? So Jonah got the message. Now, as for me, I'd like to think that I don't need 3 days in the belly of a fish to get the message. But you know, sometimes God leads us in strange paths or allows us to go in strange paths so he can come back again and say, now are you ready? Now are you ready to be obedient? Now are you ready to do what I've equipped you to do? So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And it says, now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And what that is saying is that it was so big, it would take Jonah 3 days just to walk through the city. It was a large city. Think of our largest cities in our nation. That was Nineveh in Assyria at that time. So this was not just a way station along the road. This was not just some pit stop where you stop and refuel and keep on going. This was a great city. And it's interesting, as I was studying this last night, I had the thought that, you know, sometimes when God wants us to do something, we think we have to try it out on a smaller scale. But, you know, God might have something large ready for you, that he has already equipped you for, that he has already prepared you for, that he has faith that you can do it. So verse 4, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. So what this means is that he entered the city on the first day. It took 3 days to go through the city. So on the first day of the city, he cried out and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days. He went through the city for 3 days. Think about it. How long did he stay in the belly of the fish? But yet, this city is 3 days walk. And he had a consistent message. He probably introduced himself and introduced his God. But the main core of the message is God is not pleased with your activities, even though you don't believe in our God. He still believes in you, and he's willing to give you a second chance. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So his word spread throughout the city, this great city, this world power, this city of military might, this city of economical might, this city heard the word of God. And it gets good in verse 5. Look at verse 5. Let's look at the response. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Think about that for a moment. They believed God. They were a great city. They had their own pagan gods. But yet they believed this prophet who came without an entourage, this prophet who came without bodyguards, this prophet who came did not have anybody hearkening the way before him as he came in to the city. There was something about Jonah that made them believe, and I believe it's the power of God. It wasn't Jonah, but it was the power of God through Jonah. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Now, once you believe, believing is one thing, but what are you going to do to show that you believe? Let's look at what happened. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. Then word came to the king of Nineveh. Even the king heard about it, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Now, they responded, but let's look how they responded. Number one, they fasted. Fasting was a sign of humbleness before God. Fasting was that opportunity to deprive yourself of nourishment so you could hear, so you could hear from God. You could hear clearer from God. That's what fasting was. In fasting, the Israelites were used to fasting, but they fasted because they believed that the God of Israel could do great harm to them. And not only did that, they fasted, but they put on sackcloth, which was a rough, coarse cloth, sort of like a bag. You know, I think of those old burlap sacks that, you know, grain and stuff used to come in that you used to see in the old country stores. You always see some of those burlap sacks in the corner and with stuff in it like peanuts and other things and grain. But it's that rough, coarse cloth that is worn as a symbol of mourning or repentance. And it was the action of this that let God know that they were serious about their belief in him. So they put on sackcloth. Now, it's interesting, the people did this, but even when the king heard about it, He did the same thing. He took off his royal robe, his robe that signified who he was and how great he was. And he was the leader of the country. But he took his royal robe off and put on another robe called sackcloth in a sign of repentance. You want to talk about following the leader? The king of Nineveh had it right. He led by example. And not only did he put on the sackcloth, but he sat in ashes. And sitting in ashes was another sign of mourning. So let's look at this. The word of God was preached in Jonah. By Jonah. It was preached for 3 days. Repent. And the people believed and they acted on that belief. And then in verse 7, the king caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Think about it. This king was so serious. He said, not only are we going to fast, but I need your cattle to fast. I need your sheep to fast. I need everything that has breath in the kingdom to fast. And in verse 8 says, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. We're serious about this. We believe that in 40 days, the God of Israel is going to wipe us out. So therefore, let us repent. Let us change our ways. Let us show that we have changed our ways by fasting, by wearing sackcloth, by sitting in ashes. Let us show that we are repentant. And let us cry out to the Lord. And let every one of us turn from our evil ways. You know, that's the proof of repentance. You know, some people can put on a show. They can act like they're changing. They can do all the things that changed people do. But do you change your lifestyle? Do you change your life? Do you let everybody know that you have turned from your evil ways and from the violence that is in his hands? Again, Nineveh was and Assyria was the type of country that took no mercy. They were very evil. They were the ones who slaughtered men, women, and children when they wanted to defeat you, if you put up any resistance. But yet the king is saying, let us turn from our evil ways. Let us turn from our evil ways. You know, sometimes when we go through something in life, we look to see if someone has repented from their evil ways. The proof is in the fruit. The proof is in what we do after we've repented. But yet they say, let us turn from our evil ways. And in verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? The Ninevites did not want to die at the hands of God of Israel. Remember earlier that the sailors in the storm, when Jonah was on the boat, they did not want to die. I don't think anybody wants to die. But if we die, we want to have Christ in our lives. Who can tell? And the king is saying, we're going to do what God, the God of Israel, has commanded. But we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know we're still going to perish in 40 days. But we're still going to change our ways. We're still going to change our behavior. We're going to change our activities. We're going to change the way we treat people. We're going to change so many things in our life because we have repented. We are not the same evil people we used to be. I'm reminded of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We all have second chances. We've had second chances. Us, when we accepted Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. In verse 10, God's message to the Ninevites, Jonah 3:10. Then God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Isn't that a beautiful illustration of repentance? Isn't this a beautiful illustration of making the most of a second chance? Jonah had a second chance. He disobeyed God earlier, but now he has a second chance, and he fulfills what God wanted him to do. Now, if we read later, we see he still didn't like it, because they were his mortal enemies. The Syrians were the mortal enemies to the Israelites. But he was obedient to God, because God's ways are not our ways. We don't know why God might want us to do something, why he might want us to interact with certain people, why he might want us to go outside of our comfort zone and do something that we really don't want to do. But I believe that there are others out there who need to hear the word of God so they can have their second chance, so they can have their chance to know the love of God, so they can have the chance to realize that no matter what they've done in the past, we serve a Savior who is full of grace, who's full of mercy. And all we have to do is give our life to him and commit to changing our old ways. Some of us have some people have all kind of reasons why they can't come to Jesus, why they cannot accept Christ. One is because they're happy with the life they have now. Another one is because they know they're going to have to change their ways once they come to Christ. Some think that they're not good enough. They've been too bad to be part of Christ's family. But I sit here today to tell you that nobody is too bad, has done too much that they cannot be forgiven. That's why Christ died for us, to take on our sins from us. That's why he tells us in Romans 6 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So therefore, we all have had second chances. Woe be it unto us to look at somebody else and say, you don't deserve to be part of God's family because of your evil ways. Sometimes we have a little Jonah in us. God might want us to talk to somebody, but we want to go in the other direction because we really don't believe that person needs to be saved. But our job is to pass the message. Our job is to be obedient to what God is calling us to do. Our job is to go out and cry that Jesus Christ is Lord. And just like he's forgiven us, he can forgive you. And sometimes we don't even have to say a word, but we can do it through our actions. How do we treat people? What do people see in us that is a little bit different than other people? Do they see our compassion? Do they see our care? Do they see our empathy? Do they see our faith? Again, we serve a God that gives second chances. And in some cases, third, fourth, and fifth chances. When the question was asked of Jesus, how many times should I forgive? Seven times? Jesus said, no, many more than that. God is here to forgive. Christ is here to accept us. Christ is here to forgive us. Christ is here to love us. And through his grace and through his mercy, we all have received, have been recipients of second chances. I believe there's somebody out today who might need a second chance. In the old church, we used to sing, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now. You don't need to fast to accept Christ. You don't need to fast. You don't need to put on sackcloth to accept Christ. You don't need to sit in ashes to accept Christ. But what you need to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. As it says in Romans 10:9, therefore you shall be saved. So I just thank God for the opportunity to share this message with you today about a God of second chances. It happened to Jonah, it happened to others, and it even happened to that pagan nation of Assyria in Nineveh. God bless you. God bless you.